It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
It's the most exciting sport on earth as far as I'm concerned.
Take a walk through the Nitro pits as we go one-on-one with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
This is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
Featuring the NHRA's Alan Reinhardt.
Our events are truly an experience. They're not just a spectator event. They are an experience.
So get in, sit down, and hold on. With host Joe Costello as he goes WFO.
Thanks, brother. Always love being on WFO, baby. Nobody brings it to you better than you, brother.
Now crank it up. It's time to go WFO. Here's your host, Joe Costello.
Hey, everybody. Joe Costello here. WFO, another week of NHRA Nitro interviews as we get ready for the Z-Max Dragway NTK Carolina Nationals. Headed back to Charlotte. Love Charlotte. Charlotte's great. Why? Well, convenient and easy. That's number one, right? The track is real close to the airport, which is real close to the hotel, and everybody goes and has a great time. Now, we have got a great week of interviews for you. Clay Milliken. We're going to hear from Justin Ashley. We're going to hear from Eddie Granacci, crew chief for Matt Hartford. All coming on this week, but Alan Reinhardt is going to start us off right, as he always does. And I'm thinking about where this race falls in terms of the schedule. And this is a huge, huge deal for the countdown. I will be talking about it throughout the interviews, tagged on to the end. So you're going to want to listen to them all. You're going to want to subscribe. You're going to want to hear everything. We got Justin Ashley. We got Clay Milliken. We got Eddie Granacci. We got Alan coming up. But it's all brought to you by a couple of great sponsors. And these people are the ones that make it possible. No sponsors, no podcast, because I would have to go work at the Walmart, right? And instead, I get to stay here. Thank you, samtech.edu. I appreciate it. Start your education at full speed with the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. And listen, here's the thing, okay? Some of our podcast listeners are like, I don't need to hear about that, but you really do, because these are all great products and things that can benefit the lives of you or the people around you. Like young people who are looking for what their life is going to be focused on, their career, their job, where are they going to be, where are they going to work? Becoming a machinist is an honest trade that is fantastic and absolutely necessary. Where do you learn that? Not under some shade tree. Certainly not. You got to go to samtech.edu, and who knows, you might find yourself programming a CNC machine. You might find yourself doing motorsport EFI or EFI tuning on a lot of these cars out here today, or you might find yourself working in an engine shop. Who knows? But every day can be different. Samtech.edu. Total Seal, piston rings. Oh my goodness. Total Seal, we are having so much fun with the videos on NHRA's Facebook page. Have you seen them? We've got the most recent one posted on WFOradio.com, where I pack a parachute. That's kind of easy, right? It's not like Mysteries of Pro Stock Revealed, as some of the others are, where we go into the valves and we go into the clutch and go into the transmission, built a transmission, all of these things. But really, it's about letting you know that Total Seal is the leader in ring seal technology. They have the obviously, they make the rings for anything, whether it be motorcycles or go-karts or pro stock or pro mod. IndyCar. Total Seal is found throughout all racing pits and paddocks across the world. But in addition to that, if you're an engine builder, they have a lot of great tools that can help you do the job and get it just right. Plus, excellent customer service with Keith over there. What's up, Keith? Bottom line, TotalSeal.com. Thanks to them for supporting WFO Radio and inviting me into their team to work on the car. And boy, do I get nervous. Magic Dry US. You know, like nervous. You pack the parachute. You want it to open. That's my experience from the last race out. Like, okay, there's the one that I packed. I hope it opens. And then when it opens, whew, it opened. Good news. MagicDryUS.com, the official organic absorbent of the NHRA. Magic Dry. And it's as simple as this. If you've got a shop, if you've got a factory, if you work in a situation where you need to clean up spills, Magic Dry US does it in a much better way than other products. First of all, it's lighter weight, so it travels easy. It's easier to move. And that is a big selling point. these big heavy clays and that kind of stuff. But two, it's made of coconut, and it absorbs 560% of its weight. Magic Dry was new. Now we all understand that it's a better deal, and they have spill kits for multiple uses. So check it out. Go to MagicDryUS.com. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Frank and Lana Hawley have been with us for a long time because I really believe in what they do. To me, I believe in what they do. Fortunately, they believe in what we do. But to me, they are reaching out beyond the racers. They're reaching out to people who are fans who just think, man, I would love to do that, but I don't know how. And they created the Dragster Adventure. And it's for you. It's for you and your family. It's for you and your clients. It's for you and your sales team, corporate environment, team building situation. They do it all. Go to frankhawley.com. They travel around the country. And then you get the experience of driving a dragster. Who else has given you that? It's amazing. frankhawley.com. Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com. Marvin Rodak. Hot sauces and spice rubs. This is one of my favorites, too. Marvin, he's a WFO listener turned sponsor and has had great response from you guys, the WFO listeners. And it makes perfect sense because what he's doing is something gourmet and it's drag racing themed, right? Coffee roasted fresh per your order shows up at your house with a drag racing theme, like Funny Car Chaos or Bang the Blower or WFO Radio Blend. Or there's so many different blends. It's amazing. Amazing stuff. But not just that. The hot sauces and the spice rubs. To me, the hot sauces are one of the best things he does. I would put the Rodak Habanero Endorphin Booster Hot Sauce, full experience, up against anything. Anything. And it's not excruciatingly hot either. It just warms you up and makes you happy. When you say endorphin booster, you feel it. Like, oh, nice warm feeling. It's a great experience. And Marvin is sitting there. It is a great experience. 817-924-6821. Give Marvin a call. Also, big thanks to Drag Racing Edge Magazine and EV3 Drag Racing for your mobile device out there cross-promoting WFO. But now, the week begins. Let's get started. Joining us now, he is the voice of the NHRA. He'll be calling the action for race three of the NHRA playoffs, known as the Countdown to the Championship. Alan Reinhart is back. Alan, welcome back.
Hey, Joe. Great to be back.
You know, I know this is important to you. I think it is, because you mentioned in the past. Since we have separated all the interviews on WFO Radio, so instead of one long three-hour show that includes Alan Reinhart and Sean Langdon and Billy Torrens, we've broken them all apart, right? And so each one is getting its own stats. I got to tell you, you're hanging tough with the drivers, Alan. You're hanging tough. You're beating a lot of the drivers.
I'm not winning?
You're winning in a lot of cases. You are winning over many drivers. Now, I'm not going to mention names and I'm not going to mention numbers because I think everyone needs to, you know, do their own thing to promote themselves. That's part of it. But you're doing pretty well, my friend.
Well, nice to hear that. Nice to hear that. Maybe it's time to go on strike and ask for more money.
Like I said, there was an error in the tabulations, and unfortunately, the numbers are low.
three people a week.
Yes.
My sister and my aunt.
I don't even have a sister. But no, it has been interesting to watch that, actually. You can see the drivers that have a strong social media following and that are active, right? Like, the more, it's as simple as that. The more active you are and the more you're engaged with, like, hey, here's an interview I was on. Listen to the interview. Oh, my God, it was a great interview. More people will listen. Drivers that do not have any kind of activity in social media, that are not really engaged with their fandom, it's lesser. Now, it doesn't matter because we chase the story, but I just think it's interesting. And, you know, you've done a really good job over the years. You know, people want to hear Reinhart, I guess.
Well, cool. Thank you. I'm happy to help out. And it's nice to know that if you and I are putting in the effort, somebody's listening.
I knew that you would appreciate that information. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, the WFOers out there. All right. So we're getting ready for Charlotte. That is number one, the NTK NHRA Carolina Nationals. But this past weekend, there was Lucas Oil Series racing all over the country. St. Louis was in action. I heard there were a couple of incidents down there. Brian Haug, Jared Dreher, you, on the other hand, were up there in Richmond. What went down?
Well, we had a really good race in Richmond. We had, you know, 3 days of good weather. We had just a little annoying spritz yesterday afternoon, which just made made us finish a couple hours late, but you know, the way that Dave Moen does his schedule, the alcohol cars run to conclusion on Saturday, and then Sunday is kind of like a sports nationals almost. It's a pretty quick paced round robin race, so you know, 2 hours late, and we got finished about 5:15 instead of being early in the afternoon. But we had a great race. We had the alcohol qualifying was unbelievable. You know, Friday night under the lights, picture this, okay? Troy Coughlin, number one qualifier. We're talking TJ, of course. I believe he was in at 5:16. Somebody had run 5:15 and bumped him back, and he comes up in the final pair and goes 5:14. You know, 5:14 in an alcohol dragster. And, of course, his guys are all celebrating and high-fiving in their heaven, and somebody went, wait a minute, what's that scoreboard say in the other lane? Because next to him, Dan Mercier had run 5:12. But, you know, side-by-side alcohol cars in the teams was pretty special. We had two cars, an alcohol funny car that ran 5:40-something, didn't have lane choice going into the first round. The weather was good, and, of course, everybody has raved about the surface at Virginia Motorsports Park since we've been back there. So track was spectacular, and the alcohol guys put on a great show. I think what might, however, be the most lasting thing that comes out of this is the fact that Allison Dahl won in Stock Eliminator. And unofficially, I believe that puts her second in points. And I say unofficial because I was doing the math in my head. I didn't do an official count. But I believe she's second place now in the national points. She's won four divisional races. She's still got some room to improve on her standings. And she is in pretty good shape to potentially win the national championship in Stock Eliminator. So she had a pretty impressive run through the field, including a heads-up final round, which, you know, heads-up stock runs are fun. Heads-up finals are even more fun. But when we're talking about a 98 Firebird on one side of the racetrack,
we lost you. Where'd you go? Come back.
You lost me.
Yeah, you faded out. Like, so try start again from the 98 Formula Firebird. Start out when you're talking about a 98 Force, start there.
When you're talking about a final round that is a 98 Formula Firebird Stock Eliminator car on one side and a 1971 440 six-pack Dodge Challenger on the other, heads up flat out for the trophy, that's just fun stuff to watch. Allison got the better of it there and, as I said, won the race. And she is certainly in the running for the national championship. I think she's guaranteed a top four finish, but she potentially could win the national championship in Stock Eliminator. So that's going to be fun to watch. But we just had a really good, solid race. And the other thing that was very interesting, at least to me, do you remember the name Scott Wise?
Yeah. Where from?
Top fuel driver from a number of years ago?
Yes.
Well, he obviously isn't racing top fuel anymore, but he's got an eighth-mile car that he comes out and plays with from time to time and decided on a whim to bring the thing out and put it in Top Sportsman. Now, we're talking about a small block, 63 split window Corvette that was dead last qualifier in the field because it's not a Top Sportsman car, but with only 24 cars entered. And he went, why not? I can go out, you know, say hi to some of my old friends and race. And he ended up winning the Top Sportsman crown, which was his first ever divisional win. And that was pretty cool as well. But that was just kind of the way the weekend went. It was good competition. It was good weather. And if you were good with the shoe polish and good at reading your weather station, it was really fast out there. The worst density altitude the whole weekend was about 1,400 feet.
Wow, very, very exciting. I think that's great. Good for Allison, and very cool. Now, give me the I'm all over Drag Race Central right now, but with all the Lucas Oil Series races, they're all double stacked. So give me the alcohol winners out there. Was it Troy? Because he looks like he locked up that northeastern the region.
Yes, it was Troy, and he did lock up the northeastern region, and he went head-to-head with Josh Hart in the semifinals, which was big for them because they had done that in Epping, and that put Josh in the driver's seat for the North region. But TJ had to come back and win it to make that happen. And then Matt Gill ended up winning the alcohol funny car final in a great race. There's side-by-side 5:41s in the final round, and Matt was able to get it done on the classic little baby hole shot. But it was great competition top to bottom.
Very interesting. And Chris Marshall and Shane Westerfield were out there. So a couple of West Coasters hanging out for Virginia Motorsports Park. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, Chris Marshall had a qualified. Actually had an oil leak in round one. He did the burnout, backed up, and was leaving a trail. They shut him off, and he was really unhappy about that. Just simply, you know, you come all the way from Oregon to not even get a chance to race for it. And the problem that they had with Shane Westerfield's car, it shook, rattled, went over the center line. And Doinked our old friend, the Orange Block, a couple of times to take himself out of competition. But the weather conditions were so good out there, you had to press or you were going to get outrun. And sometimes you just press too far when that happens. And, you know, we've seen that time and time again when all the conditions come together, when it's, you know, a legitimate time to go try to set personal bests or track records. And it was really fast out there.
Very exciting. Well, yeah, when you got a side-by-side 541s in top alcohol funny car, that is pretty awesome. Everybody's had a whole summer to work on their tune-up. Now it's getting a little cool. The tracks are good. Things are going fast. I love it. Now, I mentioned the two incidents down there. I guess Jared Dreher had a blowover, like we saw Steve Collier have in Kansas a couple of years back. And Brian Haug tore up his top alcohol funny car. That's looking good in the points. And so that was down in St. Louis. But just eventful to the good and eventful to the bad.
Yeah, I was, you know, I obviously was in Richmond, so I didn't see the St. Louis stuff. I did see some news about it. I understand that both drivers got out and walked away, so that obviously is the most important thing. Yeah, Brian is running, you know, both regionally and nationally, and my understanding is that his backup car is in Oregon, and trying to go from St. Louis to Oregon to pick it up and all the way back to Charlotte to run the race was, well, either impossible or just didn't seem like a good plan. But I have been told that he is going to be driving Johnny Lindbergh's car because from St. Louis, you know, obviously you're a three-hour drive from Indianapolis, so they can just zip up to Indy, pick up Johnny Lindbergh's car, take it to Charlotte. And that's what I understand is that Brian's going to be driving Johnny Lindbergh's car this weekend in Charlotte. We'll have to wait and see.
There you have it. But that's not good for the competition. Johnny Lindbergh's personal car, you know it's going to be quick and fast. All right, let's dive into the Mellow Yellow Series now. And just like this, Alan, it's like here we are. We're coming up on the third race to complete the first half of the countdown. And just like the results last week, we talked about how, like, you know, top fuel, 100 points for the most part, separating all 10 drivers. So that can go in any direction. You just want to avoid an early round loss here if you're at the top of the qualifying sheet. At the bottom, you lose first round. I'm going to say it's pretty much over.
Well, you know, you're looking at, I'm actually looking at a little bit bigger picture than that. I'm looking at the next 2 weeks because we run Charlotte this weekend and then we could leave Charlotte, go straight to Dallas and run there. And at that point, you better have put yourself in position for those last couple of races. So, you know, I agree with what you said. If you're, you know, down 7, 8, 9, 10, you lose first round this week, you're digging yourself a hole that I don't know that you can get out of. But, you know, if you go second round semifinals this week and then have the same showing in Dallas, I think at that point you've got, you know, you need to have a decent showing at both these races in order to be considered, at least in my mind, a legitimate championship contender when we get to the last two. But I still haven't seen, you know, anybody really separate themselves from the field. You know, the Capco boys looked awful in Reading, and then they looked spectacular last week. So which Capco cars are going to show up in Charlotte? You know, if they show up running like Billy and Steve did last week, okay, I think automatically you say they're contenders. But, you know, Steve's car has certainly been spectacular at times, but not the long string of spectacular that he was last year. And I think that goes all the way back to, you know, his final round loss in Seattle. I think since then, they've lost a little bit of the break-their-backs consistency that they had earlier in the season. Not saying they can't get it back. I'm just saying I haven't seen it for the last six races or so.
Well, let's focus on that because, you know, last week we had Billy on, and Billy has turned into one of the better interviews out there because he is just, you know, loose and enjoying it and having fun. I even asked him about it. It's like, hey, man, you know, he's like, he understands that the people around him are, you know, we're enjoying what's going on and we want to know his personality and he's opened up and all. So he said that they kind of went down some roads of experimenting and that, you know, finding their way back to the true north. And they said, hey, let's just put it all back to what has worked in the past. And that this race was the put it back to what has worked in the past race that he won. That in Reading, you know, they tried to get back to that position, first race of the countdown, but they were faced with some unbelievable conditions. And so they were just behind. And so if that is, in fact, the case, we will then know this weekend, right? Like they should both run well.
I think so, yeah. If they come back this week and run like they did last week, then I think you pencil Steve back in as a favorite to repeat. You know, Billy, just because he started a little bit further down, would certainly have a little bit more more of a mountain to climb. But you're going to have to show me. You know, the number of times that I've heard somebody say, okay, we have figured out what's wrong with our car because it made two or three good runs or because we had one good weekend. I've been around this long enough that you've got to show me more than one good weekend before I'm convinced that you have legitimately figured out the problem.
Yes, totally agree. A big story, though, Doug Coletta. Won his first U.S. Nationals, got that top-line resume piece, but still in the points lead for the championship with four races remaining going in. What do you think is going on over there at Coletta Motorsports as they try to prepare? This is Doug's best chance to win a championship. He's just got to out-duel Steve Torrence over four races. Steve Torrence and Mike Salinas, Brittany Force, over four races. Likely, maybe not. Doable, definitely. And they've been building to this moment. So what are some of the things you think that they need to do to capitalize?
I think they need to not make mistakes. It's as simple as that. And it's certainly easier said than done. But, you know, they've got a really good race car. They've got a really good program right now, and they've got to not make mistakes. You know, the preparation that they do over there or up there in their shop in Ypsilanti is on par with any of the teams that have raced in NHRA for years. They've got everything they need in the way of resources, in the way of equipment, in the way of personnel. They need to just make no mistakes, and I think they're going to be there at the end. I don't see this thing being locked up before Sunday in Pomona. So, you know, the team of the five that you mentioned, I think the team that minimizes their mistakes is going to be the one that ends up with the big trophy at the end of the year.
Yes. And to me, like, I'm just getting excited just looking at the points. We're going to speak with Clay Milliken this week on the show. There's a lot of different stories going on. Clay's mom passed away last, Saturday of the last race. But, you know, even though he is 10th, he's only 107 out. He's got to leapfrog those nine guys, and we always talk about having the people in front of you as the challenge. But if they could find their way to a final round, you know, that changes some things. But it's not all about winning the championship either, is it, Alan? Like, getting a 7 instead of a 10 to carry around for all of 2020 is a good deal. You want to climb as high as possible, and every one of these positions in the point standings has its own value.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's monetary value with a number of teams. There's maybe sponsor bonus value that comes along with that. And I really think that, you know, Clay and Mike Clover want to win a race. The fact that they haven't won a race together in NHRA, they've got a good race car. They've been snake bit here a little bit as of late. And I think that, you know, if I'm Clay right now, I think I'm putting on the spoiler hat a little bit. I'm looking at this going, you know, the championship is a really, really long shot at best. But let's just see if we can't go annoy some people on the way there and race a little more aggressively if I'm them. Because you got nothing to lose. You know, you're 10th in points. It's not like you can go to 11th. So why not be out there and, you know, play a little more hardball maybe?
Yes, exactly. Well, exactly. Take some cuts. And who knows? Maybe it all works out. We're also going to speak with Justin Ashley this week, Alan, who's going to be trying to qualify for his first event in Top Fuel as co-owner of his own team. And I think that is an interesting story inside of the playoffs, in that you've got some racers coming out to get their feet wet just while everybody else is deciding championships. Justin Ashley, somebody that we've all been looking for as someone who's got talent. Clearly he showed that in the top alcohol ranks. Now going to try to make his first, certainly his debut in Top Fuel.
Yeah, and, bring it. I'm all for, you know, the more the merrier out there, especially in the pro ranks. And I also think that it's interesting that, you know, the number of people that talk about the graying of our sport, but when you look at young guys like Justin and like Jordan Vandergriff and like Austin Prock and like, you know, there's a lot of young talent out there that has shown a propensity to be able to do what they need to do to get out there, whether it's finding the financial resources or impressing the team owner enough to get an opportunity with an established team. But I think that's great. I think it's, you know, Justin, welcome to the deep end of the pool.
Yeah, exactly. This is the deep end. There's definitely the deep end of the pool. Funny car, similar situation. You know, he's always kicking around the points and like what it means and all. But I don't know that we've seen much of anything just yet. We've seen two races, and we've had two different winners, and it's interesting. Coletta car, DSR car, but it's just shuffling. Fox has a new graphic where they have every driver's name, and like each race it kind of moves to illustrate where they moved around. And, you know, Robert Hight back in the points lead. John Force 13 points out of the lead. I know you said at the start of the countdown, that's where your eye is, and they're still right at the top. Will someone break out?
They're going to have to show me. You know, like I said before, the next 2 weeks are going to be very telling. I really believe that Robert and John have the best two cars out there right now. And if somebody wants to prove me wrong, don't tell me why your car's better. Show me. You know, the Coletta cars did a great job last weekend, and I'm, you know, not taking anything away from what they did. But they also both won first round on hole shots. So they're a tenth of a second combined total of both of them being first round losers last week. The fact that they, you know, they won the race again, that's wonderful. I'm not denying them the success that they've had, but you're going to have to show me that you're a championship contending car, more than just the fact that we had a good weekend, and they certainly did have a good weekend. But I believe the two Chevrolets are the ones to watch right now.
Thinking of John Force winning his 17th championship is just like, what could that happen? Is it good? And it can definitely happen. Just got to go down the racetrack. I'm excited for Q1 already. You know, Pro Stock, very intense. But I'm looking at the standings. I see Jeg 94 back, and I'm thinking, you know, Jeg was a guy that going down the track, just what's going on there? They got a quick car. They got one of the best of all time. Just not catching brakes. Look to be a little snake bitten. Even earlier this year, they had a battery problem. Just a little snake bitten.
I agree with that, too. I think, you know, the two that I'm really looking at right now, Erica, who I've said all along, got a really good race car and is mad. And I also think that I think Jason Lyon is going to be there at the end. You know, there are plenty of cars out there that are fast enough that any given day could be in a final round or could even be in the winner's circle. But those two, if you told me, you know, pick two out of the mix that you think have the best shot, then those are my two. I'm going with Jason and Erica right now. And, you know, if I say that and it makes Greg Anderson mad enough that he goes out and wins the next four races, then he'll be the champion.
Yeah, but he might not, though, even with 100, he's 107 back. It depends on what they do. And Jason and Erica, they've been here before. They have battled, and so we have to kind of search the memory banks to what that was like. And I remember that being a very dramatic, final round of the final race for the championship. And if memory serves me right, Jason went one thou red. What was it? What do you remember?
Yeah, Jason ended up on the wrong side of the ball, but I don't remember it being one thou, but... you know, Erica had the better car and put the pressure on everybody else to come out and stop her. And, you know, Jason ended up being the last guy that could stand in her way and couldn't get it done. But those two have got a good history. The respect level between those two teams, I think, is off the charts. And if it comes down to those two again, I think that's great for the fans because, you know, there's a lot of people that love KB and a lot of people that are anything but KB. There are obviously a lot of people that love Erica and Elite Motorsports, and there are a lot of people that are anything but them. So I think that those two would be fun. It would be good because it's going to polarize the fan bases a little bit. You know, if Greg and Jason fight for the title, then I think most of the fans don't have a clear favorite. You know, they're like, my team is going to win, whichever driver's fine. And I think it's always better when you've got rival teams getting after it. So if it ends up like that, then I'm happy with it.
That's an interesting way to look at it. And if we break down the point standings on that, using that philosophy, you got Jason, who's KB, and Erica, who's Elite. And then you have Bo and Matt, who are privateers who are affiliated, right? Like Bo is, you know, using KB power and Matt is using Elite power, but they are both supplying their own, you know, chassis expertise and tuning. Then you got Laughlin, and then you got Jeg and Greg, right? The other team cars. It's kind of a, mm-hmm. kind of interesting if you break it up like that by team car versus affiliated car. And if you're the NHRA, I think you got to be happy with the rules changes you've made over the past couple of years with what you see sitting at the top of the points.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, when the teams decided that, hey, in order to save our class, because you know, you look at the way that the road was going, and it wasn't headed for a happy place, that we're going to have to put more competitive cars on the racetrack, and that they will lease power or complete operations to somebody that wants to come out and have a legitimate chance to win, then that really opened it up. You know, the year that they made the change to fuel injection and KB just ran rampant over everybody, good for KB, not good for Pro Stock. And, you know, I love what Greg Anderson said. He said, I understand it's not good for the class, but my job is to go out there and try to win every race. You can't expect me not to do my job. You know, their job is to come stop me. They need to do a better job. Don't tell me I need to back off. And, you know, I think that resonated with some of the other teams that realized that he's right. You know, would it be good for the class if Jeg and Erica won every single race? No. But is that what Richard Freeman's job is? Is that what Richard Freeman pays all his people to do? Go out there and win every race? Absolutely. And it's somebody else's job to stop them. So when it comes down to, you know, the two of the stars, one from each one of the major teams or the main suppliers, if you want, that are going head to head, I think that's good for the class. I think that's good for the fans.
Certainly is. And, you know, you choose your favorites, and I get it, Ford people. Like, there's nobody out there running a Ford right at this moment, and I get it. It might be a little annoying that you don't have anyone to root for. I mean, there's one out there. There's a couple out there. But at least what is the term? Directionally correct, Alan? Like, we had zero for a long time. Now we got two that are bouncing around out there.
Yeah, and, you know, they hopefully will get there. But I think, you know, Pro Stock at this point in time, the brand wars, I don't think, are anywhere near as strong as they were in the past. So I think now it's come down to the people. You know, are you a KB fan? Are you an Elite fan? Are you an Independent fan? Are you a Jeg fan? Are you a Greg fan? Are you an Erica fan? You know, Matt Hartford certainly has got a lot of folks from the way back in the now defunct Sport Compact days that are following Pro Stock because Matt Hartford is a player. And even though he's been out there for the last few years kind of dabbling in it a little bit, the fact that he is now a legitimate player has got more eyeballs looking at the class, and I think that's good. I think Pro Stock right now, you know, more than a manufacturer war, I think it's pick your favorite driver and root him or her on.
No, I agree. And, you know, for manufacturer war, first of all, let's face it, the manufacturer zone, the realm of manufacturers, like, they're all over the board. It's not like it once was that there are people that are pulling into the pit area or the track to watch NHRA drag racing, and they're pulling in Hyundais, BMWs, Mercedes, GMC pickup trucks. Like, you know, they're not all running in a Ford Mustang or a Chevy Camaro, regardless, number one. It's more about teams of people, right? Picking their gear selections, going with the right gear, getting off the clutch at the right time, tuning the power plant that they happen to have. And to me, that is very compelling and exciting. And if you're an old school Pro Stock fan and you think about the days Bob Glidden and those guys were, you know, back in the shop welding together manifolds like, you know, 18, 20 hours a day, this is not that. This is a different thing. But what it is really cool. And I love the idea that a team can be assembled to go out and challenge this thing.
I agree with that. I think that, you know, for the fans that, you know, strive for the days when they just wanted to manufacture wars, right? I just want to see a Mopar win. You know, I don't care who's driving it. I just don't want to see a Chevy in a winner's circle. Well, we've got the Samtech Factory Stock Showdown for you. And for those that are big fans of Pro Stock, I hope they have latched on with a driver and they are now rooting on a driver, if not a brand.
Right. And the downside of manufacturer involvement is that manufacturers are unfortunately connected to many factors in the economy. And sometimes they're in and sometimes they're out and sometimes they focus on different things like we're seeing in the greater automotive market with the focus on SUVs, right? Like, oh, all of a sudden everybody wants an SUV now because they like to sit up high or whatever their personal reasoning is. And so the emphasis on cars in general is a little less. And so it's good to have racing that is slightly independent of that, whatever those wrinkles are. And I think that's what we've got, and I think it's getting better and better. Pro Stock Motorcycle, Andrew Hines. Went back to the four wide, Andrew Hines. I went back and searched a couple of years. Andrew Hines leads the points going to a track that he loves, that he runs very, very well at. I'm not saying he's going to win, but it could be, I don't know about a knockout blow, but if the Andrew Hines we saw all year long shows up for this race and takes the win, it will go a long way towards the championship hunt. Very pivotal.
It certainly will. I think that the biggest story right now in Pro Stock, though, is the resurgence of the Suzukis. You know, I think it's interesting that the last time we were in Charlotte, remember the whole Matt Smith and Steve Johnson controversy when,
yes,
you know, Matt made the hobby racers remark that Steve took personally. But, you know, Matt said at the time, you know, the Suzuki guys need to do a better job. You know, don't penalize me because this is what I eat and breathe when the vast majority of the Suzuki guys are racing basically on a part-time basis. And even Jerry Savoie at the time said, he's right. The reason my motorcycle's not as fast as his isn't his fault. It's because we're not doing a very good job with the stuff. And we've seen now over the course of the last, 6 weeks or 8 weeks, the Suzukis have found something. And it's not that the rules were changed, or it's not that they were given more horsepower, or it's not that it's that they found whatever the missing ingredient was. And I think even Steve Johnson has discovered that, you know, Matt was right. You know, if I put as much effort into my program trying to make the motorcycle fast as he does, then my motorcycle is going to be faster than it is right now. And it's much more fun the last 6 weeks to be a Pro Stock motorcycle fan than it was the first part of the year, simply because now Suzuki is back in the mix. You know, we were just talking about the brands in Pro Stock. And, you know, the brands in Pro Stock motorcycle are pretty simple. You know, there's the Harleys, there's the EBRs, and there's the Suzukis. And when you go to the races knowing that, you know, well, I'm a Suzuki person, but my bike, my brand doesn't have a chance to win, it's not as much fun to watch your races. But if you're going to the drags right now as a Suzuki fan, not only does your brand have a chance to win, your brand is on a streak of wins. And it makes it much more fun to be a Pro Stock motorcycle fan when you're not just going in there and figuring, well, we already know what's going to happen. Let's just see, you know, which one, but we already know what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, I get you, and I agree. And I know there are Suzuki fans out there. They like the idea of the high revving engine. Very interesting. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Pro Mod rules change, right? We're not done with the rules changes. They hit the nitrous cars with a little weight.
Yeah, I'm. You know, I don't have anything to do with it. It's kind of like not my department, as they say.
Why did you do that, Alan? Why did you force them to carry extra weight, Alan?
Yeah, exactly. you know, I'm not a huge fan of making a change like that when there's just a couple of races left in the season. But, you know, the rules makers looked at it and everybody said, hey, look, there's something that looks like it needs to be adjusted. And they made that choice.
Simple as that. Stevie Fast with a big lead, couple races remaining. It is always going to be interesting. And we will be there in just a few days. Any final thoughts for the WFO audience, things that maybe we should be thinking about or considering as we get ready for Charlotte?
Just that, you know, the pro championships are up for grabs, but man, there's a whole lot going on in the sportsman championships as well, and it's difficult to keep an eye on everything right now with guys that are running for division championships or region championships, as well as people that are trying to make a move in the national points. You know, the fact that Chris Marshall, when we were on the West Coast, was seriously considering hanging it up, and he is now on his way to Charlotte because he's still part of the conversation for the national championship. You know, you look what Brian Haug's going through, trying to make it all come together. You know, Megan Meyer, is this finally the year? You know, Sean Cowie, you got a feel for the guy, all that he's done. But there's a whole lot of stories out there in the sportsman pits that we're going to be trying to stay on top of as well.
Excellent. I agree. It is a great challenge. And I know there's a lot of people that love to follow those Lucas Oil Series championships. And, you know, each year we usually, right around this time, have a show where we like narrow it down to one or two people. Maybe we'll do that in the next few weeks.
Sounds good to me. Maybe the week after Dallas when we don't have don't have any Nationals to talk about, we can sit down and kind of break down, see where everybody stands in the sportsman ranks.
I like it. I think that is a great idea. Alan, great job as usual. Thank you so much for starting us off right here on WFO Radio Podcast.
Thank you, Joe. It's always a pleasure, and I'm going to spend the next day or two meandering my way out of Virginia and down towards North Carolina to get ready for ZMAX. Maybe I'll go by and see if they'll let me in the front door at KB Racing.
You should do it.
Nah, why waste the time?
No, you got to do it. What's Terry McMillan say about that? Persistence beats resistance. You just got to keep showing up, right? You know, pretend you're selling a vacuum or something. Maybe you should wear a disguise. You should show up in a disguise.
There's an idea. Maybe I'll try that. I'm afraid, though, as soon as I open my mouth, they're going to know it's me.
You got to do a voice. And this has got to be all documented on the social media. Like Alan Reinhart buying this disguise and showing up at the door, wearing the disguise, and what happens. I think it could definitely work out.
Yeah, they wouldn't let a stranger in, so why would they let me in if I was in disguise?
Well, because maybe the disguise is, you're a vendor. Maybe you dress like Matt Hartford from Total Seal. I don't want to give you
a specific idea,
but you know what I mean? You got to be creative. Remember Terry McMillan. Persistence beats resistance.
Okay, but just so you know, they wouldn't let Matt Hartford in either.
Oh, well, that's why you got to be creative here, Alan. Who would they let in? Which tall person would be allowed in there? And that's for you to come up with.
Maybe I could get a Ken Black disguise.
There you go. Like, it's just the world is your oyster. But you got to document it.
Just came to check on you boys, and they said, "Aren't you already in the back?" Oh crap!
I got locked out. Yeah, I'm just I lost my key. You'll figure it out. You're very industrious.
I'll take
character. All right, Alan. Great job.
Travel safe, Joe. See you in a couple days.
There he goes, the voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhart, joins us each week right here on WFO Radio. And thanks to Alan, and he's calling divisional races. He's all over, and that is a great deal. Now, Brian Haug, Jared Dreher, very tough. They had incidents down there in St. Louis. But this is a tough sport, and it happens from time to time. We just got to, we got to try to minimize that as best as we can. I am so excited about the countdown, guys. You know, after my time, right, my time segment. And one of the casualties of not doing a show anymore is the my time segment is kind of gone. Now, as time goes by, you'll realize that the Ignition Show is where the My Time segment has gone. And we're always encouraging you to listen to more Ignition, because Ignition is fun. It's entertainment. It's not nuts and bolts. You're not really going there to try to learn something. You're going to laugh. You'll have a good time. You'll, it'll be positive. It'll be negative, whatever. But on the Ignition Show this week, we did a driver-by-driver points analysis of all these categories in the Mellow Yellow series. And this is what I got. And I will summarize it here. Ignition is in the archive, but I'll summarize it, which is this. We have got such an exciting playoff system going on right now. And yes, you may not like it. Like Jack Beckman doesn't like it, and Steve Torrence doesn't like it, and Billy Torrence doesn't like it. And that is a competitive argument that you can make. And my mind is open, but it's not changing this year. And so you can be like, kicking the can down the road. I don't like it, so I'm not going to be into it. I'm not going to watch. Which is a bad attitude. Or you can embrace it for what it is. And what it is one of the closest. Here we are, race 3. And literally, everybody is still in it in Top Fuel. Even Clay Milliken, who's going to be on the show, they've just got to win this week. They go out there and win this week, and then put something together next week. Can they win this week? We're going to ask Clay. But Austin Prock and Billy Torrence and Richie Crampton and Antron Brown, those guys are all right in the middle of it. Now, Steve Torrence and Doug Coletta got to lose early. If Steve Torrence or Doug Coletta, if they both make the final round, they get a chance to eliminate some people for the most part. Not mathematically per se, but that's what's cool. Every run, every round, severe drama. Now, we had a great conversation on the Ignition Show, and I'm going to tell you about it, about Lewis Hamilton in Formula One. That championship is over. It's over. It's over. And if you're a Formula One fan, you might watch the races just so maybe Ferrari will win, or Haas F1 to see if they can get some points, or you want to see Lewis coronated. That's great. but it's over. And there are a lot of people who are checking out on it. Call me next year when my team's got a chance to win the championship. Right now, I'm going to go do other things. There's the discussion of, you know, Scott Palmer going to come to Dallas, and there's some real interesting stuff going out there with Palmer that we'll be telling you about in the coming weeks. But not only do some drivers check out in the countdown, but what if the fans check out? That's the other side of it. And I don't think anybody would want to check out on this. Mike Salinas. Mike Salinas wins the race. Guess what? Even if he beats Steve Torrence in the final round, you got a 20-point race. What a battle. Brittany Force. Leah. Very exciting. It's very exciting. How would you call it anything but? Robert Height. John Force. Same deal. They go out there and win. They have a chance to really gap the field, to eliminate some people. If John Force or Robert Height wins the race, then, you know, Tommy Johnson and Matt Hagan are pretty much out of it for the most part. That's what's exciting about it. If you're right in the middle, like Ron Capps and J.R. Todd, you can't lose first round. If you go to the semis, you kind of stay alive depending on what happens. But you want to thrust yourself up into the middle of it. This race is pivotal out here at Charlotte. Jason Lyne, Erica Enders, Bo Butner, same deal. Top three, go out and win the race and do yourself, separate yourself. Eliminate some people. Lose first round, right back into the middle of the scrum. And that's what it is, a scrum. And then Pro Stock Motorcycle, it's interesting. It's always a very competitive class during the year. Come the countdown time, look at Andrew Hines. If he goes out and wins this race like I just mentioned with Alan, Andrew Hines, Charlotte, not quite a no-brainer, but close. Then I don't want to say it's over, but it's going to be not quite over. But he will feel good, let's put it that way. So anyway, there's your countdown report as I see it. And every second, every run, there is intensity and drama. You make a mistake in qualifying Q1, now guess what? You're out first Q2, and you're not going to be able to improve. And now you're going to get a bad qualifying spot. And now you're going to not have lane choice for first round. And who knows what that means. Exciting. Excitement. Big thanks to Total Seal, Piston Rings, Magic Dry US, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, Samtech.edu, Drag Racing Edge, and EV3 Drag Racing for supporting WFO Radio. Hit the website every now and again. Check out what we got going on there. That Total Seal video is up. And you can find the best way to subscribe, whether it's SoundCloud or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, or there's a bunch of different ways up there for you to find and check out. But what you're going to do right now is you're going to stick around if you got the WFO Radio app, because Clay Milliken is going to be our first guest. We're going to hear from Clay. We're going to hear from Justin Ashley. We're going to hear from Eddie Granacci, which is going to be great for you Pro Stock fans. Pro Stock crew chief discussion. We'll find out where the real Pro Stock fans are on this one. Hardcore Pro Stock discussion, WFO this week. Thanks, guys. WFO.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO radio.
Oh, yeah.
Your education. What are you going to do with your life? That is what it's all about. And Samtech.edu can help you figure it all out. The School of Automotive Machinists and Technology always says start your education at full speed, because they will get you in, get you started, get you learning rapidly. The school is located in the Houston, Texas area. They've got a great campus. They're always expanding. But most importantly, their relationships within the performance industry is what sets them apart. We're talking about block programs, head programs, CNC programs, motorsport EFI tuning, all part of Samtech. They can even help persons that are eligible under the GI Bill. Go to the website, samtech.edu, or call 713-683-3817. Would you rather do something you love as your job? I know I would. Samtech.edu. The one thing that top drag racing teams agree on is Hangstifers.com. Hangstifers metalworking lubricants are going to make you more efficient in the machine shop. It's going to save your tools, it's going to improve your surface quality, and it's going to make you quicker and more efficient. Go to Hangstifers.com to find out more information. Hangstifers metalworking lubricants since 1937. We're talking gourmet coffee, we're talking hot sauces, we're talking spice rubs, we're talking everything good at RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, been doing it since the 70s, figured out that life is better with great coffee, and oh, he's so right. 817-924-6821. Call Marvin. He'll roast up some coffee fresh for you. Throw in some hot sauce, some spice rub, and you will be loving it. Hit him up, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show. And don't forget to write a review. WFO.
This is WFO Radio.